When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Get in the know, non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You think you like football? John Gruden doesn't just like football, he loves football.
You run right by his ass! Scare him to death! Ho, 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 ho! Santa Claus is here, huddle up!
Football!
Football!
That was terrifying.
Is that new?
That was new one, huh? I don't think we've heard that one.
We've had it for a while, but I don't think it was kind of buried in the collection.
Sure.
That was
Santa Claus?
Terrifying, man.
Santa Claus isn't Gruden, nasty.
Gruden Claus is.
I don't like house. Gruden Claus. He comes Gruden into your Clausel. House, but he leaves presents, and he just takes cookies.
Yeah, that's kind of scary to me. You make a...
No, man.
I don't know.
He's like a nose tackle.
Okay.
He's cuddly and lovable.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Gruden, not lovable.
Purple Daily, Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, Declan Goff, our executive, that is capital E, capital P, executive producer. And Purple Daily is presented every day by TCL TVs. Enjoy more of what you love at TCL. We had some people last week sending us screenshots of our ugly faces on the Purple Daily YouTube channel on their TCL TVs. We'll take those.
Yeah.
We'll take those. We'll send them off to TCL, and then they can continue to be part of our show, because then they'll know that you guys do like us. You really like us enough to watch us on your TCL TV. So let's start the show here today, boys, with a screenshot of a Dan Orlovsky tweet that, Declan, if you could read it to our audience here.
Zoom in a
little bit
here.
Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, this is Dan tweeted this out on Saturday morning, and he said, three teams I could see shocking us and drafting a quarterback in round one or early two, like Green Bay did last year, Bills, Kansas City did a few years ago, Minnesota, Seattle, and New Orleans. So Dan Orlovsky throwing some reckless quarterback speculation into the NFL draft.
How about that? So he uses the word shocking the world.
Reckless speculation.
Or just shocking us, I guess. Judd, how do you feel about this? Do you think, so he's identified very clearly three teams that are going to be in playoff contention here, two that are drafting much later than the Vikings, but
yep.
Do you think they are in the mix to potentially shock people and draft a quarterback in the first round?
So I actually sent you guys in our prep notes a note about this before I saw this tweet, and I do, and here's why. Now, this is very much going to depend on how Spielman, I guess, especially feels about the future here and his stability. But if you think about it, if you were to sort of pull what the Packers did, but do it a little bit smarter, and by that, I think the Packers jumped the gun on Love.
I think Kirk Cousins is going to host Jeopardy next year for a few months.
Yeah, it'll can you imagine? I'm sure he watched that and thought, oh, I could do that. I'd be just as good. I think the Packers did a smart thing, but I think it was premature, because clearly their QB is still fantastic and he's great, and I think if you have a QB as good as Rodgers is, you probably should be trying to help your team win immediately, because that means that your window of opportunity is still open. But think about the Vikings. Think about where the Vikings are at, and think about where Cousins is at contractually, okay?
And age-wise,
but wouldn't it make a ton of sense, the more I think about this, if you said, we're going to identify a quarterback that we like. And you know what? He might make it and he might not, because you never know for sure. And I'm not saying it's one of the top ones. But this draft has a slew of quarterbacks, and some of them are considered pretty damn good prospects. So with Cousins' contract having 2 years left in 2022 and then what, potentially 23, but you can get out of that contract and trade him for a $10 million cap hit after this season. That's not exactly going to kill you.
You said 23. It's his contract's up after 2022.
Right, okay. Now. I apologize. Yeah. But anyway, if you cut Cousins after 2021, it's going to cost you dearly cap wise. So you're not going to do that. But if you trade him, it's a $10 million cap hit, which is very doable. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it make a ton of sense if you've identified a quarterback that you're going to have to take a chance on, but you like and think that you can develop him, and that, in fact, sitting him for a year would be a good idea to draft that quarterback now? And you know what? If Kirk helps him in 2021, that's great. And if he doesn't, that's fine, too. But if your coaching staff and people that are important in your building can work with that prospect and develop him, and you have him in a position going into year two of his rookie contract, which, if he's not a first-round pick, would be 4 years. If he is, it's 5 years. This, to me, could be absolutely an ideal time to take a quarterback to develop and have him have the luxury of not having to play immediately.
Yeah, I think you have to take a long, hard look at it. I don't know that I'm doing it in the first round unless the draft falls that way. Like I think, gun to the head, in order to get one of those five guys that are at the top of the list, I think you're going to have to trade up. I think those guys are all going to be gone in the top 10. So you'd have to aggressively trade up. And, you know, other teams have done it. I mean, the Chiefs did it in playoff contention. A lot of people, when the Chiefs did it, they were coming off like two or three straight playoff appearances. And Alex Smith was coming off I think he had the league-leading passer rating the year before they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And so, and the Packers, obviously, we make fun of them for it, but the Packers have been a contender and they drafted Jordan Love. They traded up for Jordan Love, right? And so there are instances of teams in contention already, which people believe the Vikings to be, right, with the defensive fixes that they've made this offseason.
Right.
That they would, that there's been examples of teams that, instead of saying, all right, what can we get in the first round to help us this year? They said, listen, this might sound crazy, but we're already thinking about the year after this year. So they'd have to be in that mindset, and I don't know that they are. I feel like the seats are so hot for Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer that they're probably going to lean towards something that's going to help them this year. Kirk Cousins' age is a really interesting part of this discussion that I almost feel like we kind of ignore, because he's only 32 right now, but he'll be 33 in the middle of training camp, and by the time next season rolls around, now you're talking 34, and if you do extend his contract to ease that cap hit from $45 million down to something else next year, it means you're adding guaranteed money into his age 35, maybe age 36 seasons. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that I'm going to want to roll the dice with at age 35, 36, when the mobility decreases even more. He's a little bit skittish in the pocket. Like, just from an age perspective alone, you should be thinking about somebody with some fresh wheels and somebody who can run around and who's just younger and cheaper, right? But I don't know what they think of Cousins. If they think Cousins as an organization, from owner, I'm talking ownership too, ownership down to front office, down to coaching staff, if they feel comfortable with him as just a dart-throwing pocket passer into his mid to late 30s, then they wouldn't draft a quarterback this year, right? Like, if they thought, listen, we'll address the contract thing later, we'll smooth that $45 million cap hit out next year, and we are fine committing to him into age 35, 36, because, yeah, listen, guys don't get beat up at that position like they used to. There's a bunch of examples of guys playing at a high level into their late 30s and 40s, and we think Kirk can be that. And if that's how they feel, I disagree. Like, I would look to move to something younger, cheaper, more mobile, right? But, like, if they feel that way, then they're not drafting a quarterback. I think it's more likely that they draft in the third round if the bin of Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, and Kyle Trask. Like, if any of those guys are there in the third round, I could see the Vikings saying, all right, we got a bunch of mid-round picks. Let's devote one to a guy that's going to be there maybe in 2022 when we're ready to move on from Kirk. But I would be pretty shocked if they were to trade up aggressively like the Chiefs and the Packers to get a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, I don't see it being first round. I do see it possibly being third. I also think that at some point in time, they're going to work pretty damn hard to get a second round pick back. Part of this entire conversation also hinges on one great unknown that's going to become clear only through time. And that is, has Spielman gone to the Wolves and tried to sever himself from Mike? Because Zimmer is not going to say, let's draft a quarterback. I can't wait for 2024. He's not going to. So at some point in time, I mean, Rick's pretty slick. Rick's a slick guy. So is he gone to, so the smart play for him future-wise would be to go to the Wolves and say, you know what? I hired Mike. You did a great job. Might not work out here, but I look forward to being your guy for a long time, right? And if that's your stance, Kirk's aging is just a natural progression. That's not saying Kirk stinks. That's just saying, hey, I need to have a backup plan here. Because if I'm going to bring in the next coach, it would be nice to present this coach with a quarterback who is prepared to play, right? So I think this only becomes clear to find out is Spielman as tied to Zim as we often think, or has he gone through back channels to be like, it's been a great run, might not work out past 2021 for him, but I plan on being here, and therefore it's my job to be a steward of the franchise, and in that role, I can't simply only be thinking about 2021. Yeah. I need to be considering our future.
Yeah, if I were Rick Spielman right now, it's not that I would be trying to fully separate myself from Mike Zimmer, because ultimately I'm the one that hired him. Like, I can't just be like, this guy's terrible. Well, if that's the conclusion, then you're fired for sure, because you're the one that deemed him A, worthy of hiring, and then B, worthy of an extension, et cetera, right? I think you have to finesse it. I think you'd have to say something like, all right, we've done pretty well. Like, we're well above 500 with Mike Zimmer. We went to the NFC Championship game. We won a road playoff game against the Saints. You know, we've been competitive. We've been good. But based on where we are right now, for us to get to the next level in today's NFL, we can't spend this amount of money on a quarterback that isn't top-of-the-line elite, and we can't have an all-in defensive approach because there's just too much volatility. Look what happens. Guy gets arrested over here. Guy gets injured over there. Another guy gets injured, and all of a sudden your defensive-first game plan is thwarted, and you're not maximizing your offense. So I think if you're Rick Spielman, you can pretty easily say, all right, like, this would be your argument for drafting a quarterback this year. You'd go to the ownership and you'd say, so Mike and I disagree. Mike wants an edge rusher. And I think Trey Lance is going to fall to 14 based on all the research we've done. All right, Mark, Ziggy, so hear me out on this. If Fields or Trey Lance fall to 14, that's our chance to have a 10-year quarterback of the future. But two things. Number one, those guys aren't going to help us. Either one of those guys not going to help us in 2021 as we're trying to make a push. And so without that first-round asset, an edge rusher or an offensive lineman, our team won't be as good this year as it otherwise would have, because we're drafting something for the future. So part number one is just know that we're not going to win the Super Bowl without drafting for this year. If we draft a quarterback, it's for 2022 and beyond. So be lenient with us if we're not great. But the other thing is, if we draft a quarterback, we need a head coach that can develop that quarterback. And so if that happens and we're not as good in 2021, it's going to be time to replace Mike Zimmer. Mm-hmm. So you would almost be committing at that point, sort of behind Mike's back, right? You'd almost be committing to not being as good as you otherwise would in 2021, and then finding a head coach, Eric Bieniemy or whoever it is, that can develop that quarterback of the future. And then you can take advantage of 4 years left of a rookie scale contract, build the rest of your roster, and really make a run at it. That's the only way I see them making an aggressive move or capitalizing if a quarterback falls to 14. The more likely scenario is that they trade out of 14 and they get an extra second round pick to help with this year's team.
Right.
Right. That's my thought.
But I wouldn't object to, if the philosophy was to try to take a next tier QB in round 2 or 3. Because, I mean, then you've got the ability that guy sits for sure, which is fine, develops. And that's where you can potentially find a guy who turns out to be a steal. And if he flops, it's not Ponder. It's not, oh, my God, first round pick, we took a chance. I also think that Rick has a case to make with the Wolves of this. I hired Mike in 2014 because at that time it was possible to hire a defensive mastermind and win and potentially win a championship, right? Fast forward to 2021, I think that's become much tougher. I think that the league has gone more offense. The league's more fun probably as well. But I think if you sell this right to the Wilfs, it's doable because it's not like Mike's a bad coach. Mike's a really good coach with intangibles. He's just been here a long time now, and I don't know if the philosophy that was relevant and probably very sound in 2014 is as good now. So I really do think that if you're going to try and stick around as the GM and the coach is going to be gone, that there is a case to be made that it's possible. Now, it has to be done with some subterfuge. I'm not saying it's all above board, but sports is not naturally. But yeah, I think there's definitely a way to make a move in the right direction for this franchise's future if you're Spielman without Mike being completely on board, and that's just too bad.
Okay, so here's the decision that you'd have to make. Let's say you've done all the scouting, and you've got, because I think the two guys that are most likely to fall at this point are Justin Fields and Trey Lance. If Mac Jones to San Francisco is true at number three. And then you're kind of hoping that, you know, Carolina already got their guy in Darnold, and you're kind of, you know, Denver might be looking to draft a quarterback, but you're looking to dodge a couple bullets if you're hoping that one of those guys falls. But if they get to within striking distance, if one of those guys falls to like 10, and all of a sudden, man, we don't have to move up 10 picks anymore. We only have to move up 3 or 4 picks. And your scouts, let's say your scouts have done all the homework, and they look at both Trey Lance and Justin Fields and say, both of those guys, Fields is more ready than Lance because he's just played more highly competitive games. But both of those guys are exactly coin flips to pan out as franchise starting quarterbacks. So 50% shot. Could be a Ponder, but could be a Josh Allen, could be a Russell Wilson, right? What do you do if you're the Vikings front office? And a 50% shot at a franchise quarterback, maybe not starting until 2022 because they might need to sit for a minute.
Sure.
But a 50% shot at a franchise quarterback falls within striking distance of you in a year in which your job might also be on the line if you don't do some damage in 2021. Let's start with Declan. What would you do in that situation?
Well, I'm in the point where I would rather the Vikings take more of a position that's going to help them in 2020. I understand if Trey Lance is there at 14. I asked our vent line guys yesterday too, and they are more in the camp of find a quarterback in the middle of tier rounds because that's more of the safer play, because taking someone, a quarterback, isn't going to help the line. It's a reach, or it's not a reach, but it's just a dangerous situation because Kirk is tied to Spielman and Zimmer's future, right? So I understand it's enticing to do so, but to be honest, and again, if one of those guys is there, I'm in the camp of trading back because someone else is going to want them more than the Vikings will, and they're going to give me something that I'm going to want in return, which is a better pick. So I'm in the camp that even though it's fun to talk about reckless quarterback speculation, I think it's more likely that the Vikings would not be enticed by one of those guys being there in the situation at 14.
So, Phil, are you saying they'll go up to 10? Like, are you saying move from 14 to 10?
I'm saying the 10th pick comes along. Actually, where do the Broncos pick? Are they picking 9th?
I think they pick 10th.
Yeah.
I think they pick 9th.
Okay. So they're, let's say both those guys are still on the board right around when the Broncos are set to pick. So a trade partner for you that would listen because George Payton's in the front office, but you're no longer having to jump up like 10 picks to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Those guys are falling within like 3 to 4 picks of you.
Yep.
And now you have a decision to make. Do you trade up and get one because they're falling into your range for the future? Or do you do what Declan's saying, which is, well, have a chance to win some games this year. Kirk Cousins was really good in the second half of last year. So forget about the future angle. Put another chip on this year's poker table, if you will, by drafting an edge rusher or an offensive lineman that can help you this year.
I don't think I'd take a quarterback there. If Fields came to me at 14, I probably would. I don't think that the Vikings will. I don't think that would be. So I don't think Spielman's going to address this as a first round pick. I do think that if he gets a second round pick, or if there's one of those second tier quarterbacks available in the third round, that would be a good strategy to take one. But I don't think that you would go. I don't think they've shown anything that shows any sign that they would take the plunge that we're talking about. I really don't. And you would have to get, if you did that, it would be a frontal, I mean, it would be a blow across the chin to Zim. Because, I mean, that would be saying, we are addressing the future and I almost don't care if you're back as coach or not. So I don't see, if that plays out where they take a quarterback first round, it's essentially going to go against everything from an off-season standpoint that we've seen so far. So I don't see it.
I would take the quarterback, and this is not meant to be like hate on Kirk. This is be logical for a second here. Think about a couple things. Think about the fact that Kirk Cousins is the third highest paid quarterback to the cap this year and the second highest paid quarterback to the cap next year, and he's in his mid-30s. There's really no example of that formula leading to a Super Bowl. So you should be thinking about how to win a Super Bowl anyways. And so from that perspective, like, you probably have to move off that contract at some point if you want to win a Super Bowl, unless you get everything else perfect around him, which I guess we'll see. We'll see if they can add a couple offensive linemen. And if you have a chance to get a guy that could be your quarterback for 8 to 10 years, and more specifically for 5 years on a rookie scale contract, and you get to save like $25, $30 million to the salary cap to build the rest of your roster, I am less concerned about squeezing out an extra win in 2021. And I'm more concerned about building something sustainable and great starting in 2022. And I think a lot of people have this fear because of Christian Ponder that, well, what if you whiff? What if you whiff? Have more faith. Rick, you know, we poke at Rick Spielman for offensive line and things like that, but Rick Spielman has built some good rosters since he's been here for 10-plus years.
Quarterbacks have been.
Competitive rosters. Well, but Judd, they're a good team every year.
Mm-hmm.
Like people think they're going to go three and evaluation.
That's all I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is, despite his quarterback evaluation, they don't go 3-13. Like, they went 3-13 once basically under Rick Spielman. So like, people have this image of the Jets and the Browns and these crappy ass franchises for years. The boy, if you whiff on that quarterback, no, you have to take those chances on quarterbacks if you want to win a Super Bowl. You have to take a chance on Josh Allen. You have to take a chance on, you know, whoever it may be, the Packers on Aaron Rodgers when he fell in 2004, right? 2005. So stop viewing the drafting of a quarterback as this huge risk and look at it as an opportunity to change your franchise and elevate it to Super Bowl level if you're right on that quarterback. That's what I'm saying.
What if there is at 14, if it's Trey Lance, if Fields is gone, and I think both, despite the smoke screens, I think both Lance and Fields are going to be gone by 14. But what if it was Trey Lance and a top left tackle available?
I'm taking Trey Lance.
I think I'm taking left tackle.
Trey Lance. I'm taking the left tackle too.
All right.
I mean, I've got to address that.
Enjoy 10 wins.
Yeah.
Forever. I mean,
I just don't trust
unless you think Kirk Cousins plus a left tackle is going to win you a Super Bowl, then. Like, you need a quarterback.
My problem is I don't trust taking a guy who played one game. I don't think you have the evaluation ability to make the correct call. I think that is the ultimate in rolling the dice.
Maybe.
And I don't know that I trust dice. I don't know that I trust the people in their building enough to take that chance.
I will say, the two times the Vikings have rolled the dice on a quarterback in the draft under Rick Spielman, they've won the division and gone to the playoffs with 10 or 11 wins. And in the case of Teddy Bridgewater, they should have won a game against the Seahawks in the playoffs. And that's with guys that weren't even like elite young quarterbacks. They were just kind of along for the ride because they built the rest of the roster. So just saying. I agree. They need a left tackle too. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if they took a left tackle. But by the way, this deep dive hypothetical Vikings draft discussion is powered by our friends in part at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is here helping business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years. Federated provides really three things: peace of mind, risk management, and tools to protect your business. So whether you're a quarterback looking to be protected from on rushing defensive players, like, think about that. If you're a business owner and your cousin's in the pocket, well, you just want to make sure you have a left tackle. You want to make sure you got a center that doesn't get forklifted off the line of scrimmage. And that's where Federated comes in for your business. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. I also hear a rumor that Declan has been honing his swing.
Oh, yeah.
And that Declan has been getting fitted for clubs. And he's now going to go from basically a guy who shoots 100 every time out to competing for major championships.
That's exactly right. I am going from Dakota Dozier to Penei Sewell. That's the goal, baby. I'm going from the worst offensive graded lineman to one of the best rookies that's going to be in the field this year. That's where I'm going. Thanks to my friends, the PGA Superstore in Minnetonka with the van fitting experience. My guy Ian hooked me up. He gave me a different amount of club shafts and different amount of grips and stuff. It changed my entire perspective on how to golf. I've been using golf clubs that are as old as I am for the last 5 years. And eventually, even though it's mostly user error, you can only do so much with a set of clubs like that. So after looking at a lot of the data and the details, Ian hooked me up with some new clubs. It was the van fitting experience at the PGA Tour Superstore. Stop in, tell him Declan sent you. Hit it up with my guy Ian, and maybe come out with me and help me break 100, because that is my goal this year.
Big time. And if you break 100, we're putting a green jacket on you.
Absolutely.
We're going to do it.
I'll do
We're
going
to do the whole awkward yep. master ceremony.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
All right, boys.
I want a mock!
All right, I'll pop this up here. So our friends at Pro Football Focus have updated their latest mock draft. And boys, I have not looked at this yet. So we're going to go through this together. I have no idea what they have the Vikings doing. I think they have trades. But this is Mock Draft Monday on Purple Daily. And to this point, we've been keeping track of every mock that we put up here on Mondays and also midweeks, how many times each player is being drafted by the Vikings. So Elijah Vera Tucker is the leader in the clubhouse. 5 different mocks have him going to the Vikings. Christian Barmore, 4 times. Kwity Paye, 3. So those are your times. I feel like Barmore has kind of fallen further down the board. So Vera Tucker and Kwity Paye seem more realistic, and then Christian Darrisaw. But you guys ready to dive into a little PFF action here? So,
absolutely.
All right, Trevor Lawrence, number 1 to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson to the Jets. 49ers taking Justin Fields.
Yep.
So a little smoke screen.
That's what I think they're going to do. Yeah,
it'd be interesting if they do.
Mac Jones thing, I think, is BS.
Yeah, I do too. All right, at 4, the Atlanta Falcons taking Kyle Pitts. So
great
one
pick.
Last weapon to help Matt Ryan. Bengals taking Jamar Chase from LSU. A little weapon to go along with Joe Burrow. And then the Broncos. This is trading up, right? Yes, trading up to 6
from
to
9
get Trey
to 6.
Lance.
Interesting.
So 4 quarterbacks in the first 6 picks.
Yes.
2 pass catchers.
Yes.
Penei Sewell
going
to the Lions.
Oh, boy.
And now the draft is playing out very poorly for the Vikings because the Panthers take Rashawn Slater at 8.
That could happen too.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
A lot of teams love him.
Okay, so if the first 8 picks go this way, you got Mac Jones still on the board. Otherwise, the quarterbacks are falling quick. You still have DeVonta Smith, but a lot of defensive players. So far, we have had no defensive players.
Zim loves this draft.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about, Phil.
Yeah.
Going bad for the Vikings. It's going according to Mike's plan.
And there's DeVonta Smith going 9 to the Dolphins.
Zim loves this draft even more.
Dallas taking a quarterback, Patrick Surtain. I think it's Surtain is how it's pronounced, but you feel old when you watch a guy's parent play in the NFL for their whole
career.
Get
used to it, dude.
Yeah.
Man, super weird. Patriots trading up to get Mac Jones at 11.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So 5 quarterbacks in the first 11 picks, only 1 defensive player so far.
Zim is, right now, he is in love with what's going on.
He's the Vince McMahon in the back of the chair gif where he's just, he's loving this right now in the war room. Yeah, he loves it.
All right, we're going to pick 12 here. Philadelphia taking Kwity Paye, edge rusher from Michigan.
Oh, Zim's not as in love with his draft anymore.
Tick-tock.
And then Christian Darrisaw goes to the Chargers at 13, the tackle from Virginia Tech. And that leaves Christian Barmore.
Oh, yeah.
Interior defensive lineman.
Here we go.
From Alabama.
I want a mock! Mock!
And so just to read this here for the podcast audience, the Vikings would shed a silent single tear if Darrisaw went 1 pick before their chance to snag him. They end up pivoting back to a pick many were penciling in for this team before free agency. Minnesota may already have Michael Pierce returning and new free agent acquisition Dalvin Tomlinson on board, but neither of those players can rush the passer the way Barmore did his final season at Alabama. There is space for all 3 to be impact players on the same line throughout a season. This is a pick that would anger a lot of Vikings fans, but it would be the smartest move in this situation. So basically, they would use Barmore in a part-time capacity on passing downs.
Yep,
I would think. And I don't know who their other maybe Stephen Weatherly moves into a starting role at the other defensive end spot.
Oh no! Now Mike is saying, Rick, you got to get me another defensive end. Mike would be like, this is just the start. Let's build more defensive line. He's a good player, so I mean, it's not a terrible pick, but it is. It would be quintessential Minnesota Vikings under Mike Zimmer, wouldn't it? Like that pick. Yeah. Like I gotta, you know, it all comes back to what? Christmas Day against the Saints, right? Never again. That's never going to happen again. I'm going to build. My team might absolutely blow, but I'm going to have the best defensive line in the history of defensive lines. So I would not be surprised one bit.
Here's the other thing, too. I mean, Tomlinson contract's like basically a one-year deal, right? Or is it?
They pushed money, yeah. Yeah, they were creative in order to make it more salary cap friendly.
Okay, because he and Pierce are still pretty young guys.
Yeah,
but they don't have a lot owed to those guys. I think Pierce's deal, it's a 3-year deal, but it's mostly a 2-year deal in terms of guarantees. So it's not like they have a 5-year solution right now on the inside of the defensive line. So this would help provide that. I don't know. Listen, like as long as Mike Zimmer's the head coach, giving him defensive tools to play with is never the worst idea. I just at some point, who's blocking for Kirk? That's the problem.
I think if they take a defensive end or tackle in the first round, your two options at left tackle are Brian O'Neill moves from the right side, which I could totally see, or they sign Russell Okung. Those are, I think, the two things that they're down to. But I will not be surprised one bit if Brian O'Neill, not Ezra Cleveland, moves to left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Mitchell Schwartz still sitting out there as a right tackle candidate, too, if you want to move him. Now, apparently he's going to wait till like May or June to pick a team just because he's rehabbing still. But that's Declan's guy. Maybe okay. Veteran Mitchell Schwartz on a one-year make-good with Brian O'Neill at left
Absolutely.
Tackle.
And Dakota Dozier at left guard. It'll work out fine. Don't worry about it.
So excited for that. Oh, my God. All right. Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of Purple Daily. Also, our friends at Wamatech have been helping the Vikings fix not their broken down offensive lines, but maybe their broken down phones and tablets and other devices. So Wamatech, before we say goodbye, is a trusted supplier of pre-owned phones, tablets, and laptops. They source pre-owned devices and pass savings on to you. They'll even buy your old device for cash. Buy, sell, trade in, whatever you need. Wamatech.com. That's WAMATEK.com. Boys, I don't know. I've been, maybe for tomorrow, we haven't talked a lot about Kirk Cousins, I feel like, in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Basically, once the Vikings got into free agency, it was like, all right, well, this is what they're going to do. They're going to beef up defense. And people wanted us to talk left guard, so we talked a lot of left guard. But I've been thinking about Kirk Cousins a lot lately. He's just been popping into my mind, and so I'd love to talk about Kirk Cousins tomorrow, and have sort of a state of Kirk Cousins. We used to do state of Kirk Cousins every week during the season. I think we should bring it back tomorrow, just for a day, to sort of see where we're all at now on Kirk Cousins after letting it breathe for a month. You guys down for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I got a lot of thoughts actually about Kirk and his safety. I'm worried about Kirk.
All right.
I'll just leave it at that. I'm very
worried.
Bring
a flak jacket, Kirk. Bring a warm moon-like flak jacket.
I'm very worried about Kirk.
All right. So we'll do that tomorrow. This has been Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. The College Football Playoff Committee made their decision on Sunday, and as much as I loathe the idea of Ohio State losing their way into the College Football Playoff, I 100% agree with OSU making it in over Bama. Nick Saban citing some hypothetical point spreads to prove his point that the Tide deserve a spot in the College Football Playoffs holds little substance when you consider Bama's best win is over Texas. No, the committee got it right. TCU had a great season with far more ranked wins than Bama and didn't deserve to lose their spot after playing a surging Kansas State in a championship game. And Ohio State, while not playing some of their best ball later in the season, was still 12-0 until they came face-to-face with my Wolverines. While the College Football Playoff system isn't nowhere near as good as it could be, it's better than what we had. And in a few years, it will be better for all of college football. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. And don't forget, bet online for the NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts.